Well, it is once again good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We are once again thankful to be in the house of the Lord. And we are also thankful for each one of you that are gathered here. Thankful for the faithful and the familiar ones. Thankful for the new ones, for the visitors. And we thank the Lord for your coming in to the house of the Lord tonight. Let's take our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. I've had more of a struggle today getting settled and getting my thoughts together than I have the two previous services, so don't stop praying now. Continue to pray that God would give us those words He'd have us to say and give us the liberty to speak. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, I want to begin reading with verse number 20, and we'll read down to verse number 27. John 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. We have some folks here wanted to meet Jesus. Tells us here in this 21st verse, they came saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. That message was passed along to Jesus. And Jesus began to speak about his death, began to speak about his glorification in death and giving his life, how that he had to die in order to save and benefit many. And I think directly in reference to these who wanted to see him, he speaks of discipleship. He speaks about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You want to see me? Well, the time is coming when I'm going to die. You want to be where I am? Well, I'm going to die. And if you love life, you're going to lose yours. If you hate your life, then you're going to find it unto life eternal. His was a road that led to suffering. His was a road that led to the death of his body, the giving of his life. If you would see Jesus, you have to understand that. And in verse number 26, you find four things here that are really the backbone of the message that the Lord has laid upon our heart. There's four things Jesus says in verse number 26. If any man serve me, if you want to serve me, let him follow me. You have to follow me. If you want to serve me, you have to follow me. And if you follow me, you'll be where I am. And if you want to serve me, you have to follow me so that you'll be where I am. And if you'll serve me and follow me and be where I am, the Father, God Himself, will honor you. Will honor you. I look at this 26th verse, and the way it flows, the way it's built, reminds me of a lot of passages that the Apostle Paul gave us. Just the way the language of the verse flows. And I told the church back home, that tells me one thing. When I see the similarities to what Jesus Christ says in verse number 26, to the way Paul said a lot of things, that tells me the Bible has one author.
Amen.
One author.
Amen.
It's God's Word. Amen. It's all inspired of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so Jesus Christ says, if you want to serve me, you have to follow me. And he says, if you follow me, you'll be where I am. I think this connects with those people who said we would see Jesus. You want to serve me? You have to follow me. You want to be where I am? You want to see me? You have to follow me. And I thought, in what application does he mean you'll be where I am? Well, there's the practical, most immediate thought and application. You want to be where Jesus is while he's here on the earth? You're going to have to follow him. And he had multitudes of people who followed him. Up towards the end, he had many, many followers, disciples, before they began to thin their ranks. So there is that practical application. If you want to be where Jesus is, you have to follow him. But then there's that eternal application. Thinking about heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. If you want to go to heaven, you want to be where Jesus is when he's in heaven, you have to follow him. But I think there's not just the immediate application or that eternal application in reference to heaven, but I think there's a principle there that we really need to get a hold of tonight. If you want to be where Jesus is, you have to serve him. You have to follow him. Jesus is not going to serve us. Jesus is not going to follow us around. Jesus is not going to traipse after us and cater to us in our needs. If you want to be where Jesus is, wherever that is, whatever part of your life you're dealing with the thought, you have to serve him and you have to follow him. You want to be where Jesus is? It doesn't come easy. You want to be where Jesus is? You have to serve him. You have to follow him. You have to serve him. You have to follow him to be where he is. I was talking last night and I've shared these thoughts at home where I pastor often of late. But there's a real flooding of the market, I call it, of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like never before in my life. Maybe like never before in human history. Jesus is everywhere. They're making movies about Jesus these days. They're making movies about the gospel and religion. They're making television series and television shows about Jesus Christ. They're streaming much about Jesus Christ. There are ad campaigns. One that I read about and looked into was going to spend $100 million in an advertising campaign portraying the thought that Jesus gets us. Jesus gets us. Like Jesus relates to us. Like Jesus loves us just like we are. There's a lot of Jesuses, a lot of versions of Jesus. Not only is there the Antichrist of the tribulation period, but I think it was Paul who said there are already many Antichrists, many imitation Christs. But none of these Christs that the world is portraying, none of these Christs that the world is pitching, that the world is selling, all of these politically correct and social activist Jesus are not the Jesus of the Bible. They're not the Jesus of Almighty Heaven. And you've got to put all these other Jesuses aside. If you want to be where Jesus is, you have to serve the true Jesus Christ. You have to know the true Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to be where He is. And that's only by serving Him and by following Him. Any man serve me, let him follow me. That where I am, there he'll be. And I think that's the most profound statement. And we're not going to deal with it. I haven't even begun to chew on all that is involved here. But Jesus says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. If he'll follow me, he'll be where I am. If you serve me and follow me and you're where I am, the Father will honor you. Wow. You believe that? I don't know what it means. I don't know the depths of it. I know there are ways that God honors His people. I know there are thoughts and applications that come to my mind. But the Father always honored Jesus. And the promise here is if we serve Him and we follow Him, we'll be where He is. The promise is, Him will my Father honor. The Lord will honor those that serve and honor Jesus Christ. There's three thoughts we want to bring out this evening as the Lord allows. And they're nothing original with me or to me. These are things that the Lord brought to me. We hope to preach them as God would be pleased. If you want to serve Jesus, and you want to follow Jesus, and if you want to be where He is, wherever that might be, first thing I want you to consider is you have to submit to His teaching. You have to submit to His teaching. People don't like a Jesus that believed anything. They don't like a Jesus who was doctrinal. They don't like a Jesus who came teaching. They just want a Jesus who loves. Who loves everybody. Who understands, who's kind to everybody. But over and over and over again in Scripture, Jesus Christ is identified as a teacher. As a teacher. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Let's notice just a few places. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Verse 28 and 29. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. Maybe one of the most despised words in all of Scripture. Man doesn't like that word doctrine. All the word doctrine means is a teaching. A teaching. And Jesus Christ is speaking. And they were amazed at His doctrine. They were amazed at what He was teaching. They were amazed at the subject contents. They were amazed or astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I just want you to pick on that, pick up on that. He taught them. Jesus Christ had an earthly ministry of about 33 years. He began his earthly ministry around 30 years of age, and not much beyond his 33rd year, he was crucified. And he spent the bulk of that time teaching. Teaching doctrine. Teaching truth. When he said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, he meant it. When he said, no man comes unto the Father but by me, he meant it. When he said he was truth, he meant it. And he taught truth. He was a teacher. And he had much to say and much to teach. Man, I believe myself that Jude verse 3 tells us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. I don't go to the extreme of saying that's all Old Testament reference. I believe some of that faith that was once delivered, Christ himself delivered to the apostles. That Christ himself delivered to his first church and deposited with his first church. But he was a teacher. People don't like the teaching Jesus. But if you want to serve him, and you want to follow him, and you want to be where he is, and you want God the Father to honor you, you have to live in submission to the teaching. It matters what you believe. It matters what a church believes. It matters what a pastor preaches and teaches. It matters what you tell somebody the Bible says. It better be truth. Because Jesus Christ spent a bulk of his ministry, the bulk of his ministry, teaching. Teaching. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. He came out and he saw a lot of people. Great numbers of people. What an opportunity. We like to see a lot of people. We think that's what the work of the Lord is all about, is people. What an opportunity when you have a lot of people to preach to. What an opportunity when you have a lot of people to teach. And so it tells us here, he saw much people. But what happened when he saw this throng of people? He was moved with compassion towards them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And what did Jesus do when he saw the multitude? And when he was moved with compassion, it tells us that he began to teach them many things. He began to teach them. Surely in this large of a number, there were many needs represented. Surely by the coming out of these numbers, many had come to have needs fulfilled. Surely when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, when he saw the great multitude, he knew all the needs that were represented. But what Jesus Christ did was he taught them. He taught them. I don't think we get the significance of that. We don't grasp how important that is. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. So here he returns in the power of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. You see the Trinity throughout Scripture. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit that he returned in the power of. And it tells us in verse number 15, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He taught in their synagogues. Chapter 5 of Luke, verse 3. This is one of those passages we all envision or are familiar with envisioning concerning Christ. It says, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, or which was Peter's. He got into a ship. He pulled a little bit away from the shore. Well, what did he get in the ship for? What did he get out there, thrust a little bit away from the shore for? Why did he go through getting himself positioned in this way? He thrust out a little from the land and he sat down and he taught the people. He taught the people out of the ship. In John chapter 13, John chapter 13, verse number 13, John 13, 13, Jesus speaking here says, you call me master. The word master there in John 13, 13 comes from a word I'm not even going to try to pronounce for you in the Greek. But it comes from a word that means instructor or teacher. The word master here, as it's used in John 13, 13, means teacher. And Jesus himself says, you call me master, or you call me a teacher. I think Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when he came to Jesus, identified Jesus as master in this word, this regard of recognizing him as a teacher. You're a great teacher because nobody could do the things that you do. Nicodemus recognized Jesus as a great teacher. And Jesus identifies himself. You call me teacher or master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. So I am. You call me a teacher, so I am. In Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter 23, verse number 10. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. You notice the red letters. That makes it easy for us to identify as this is coming from the perspective of Christ himself. And the word master here in Matthew 23, verse number 10, means a guide or teacher. Little different word than we recognized in John 13, 13, but a word that still means guide or teacher. And Jesus says, don't be called masters in this application, because you have one master. That one master, that one teacher is Christ. Is Christ. Now, let's turn to John 6. John 6. Jesus Christ performs a miracle of feeding many. He enters into a discussion and a dialogue of how he is the bread of life. Got a little bit too narrow for the crowds. And the crowds began to leave him. A significant passage of Scripture that identifies us for us a turning point when the masses began to leave. And we read here in John chapter 6, verse 59, these things said Jesus, said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. What did he teach? What were some of the things he taught in John 6 that were so offensive? Well, in verse number 44, here's something Jesus taught. No man can come to me except a Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Nobody can come to the Son of God. Nobody can come to God lest they do it through Jesus Christ. Nobody can come in and of themselves. God must draw. God must quicken. God must bring. God must work. Salvation's by grace through faith. It's by God's initiative, not by our initiative. As we've already seen in the course of these services, real love does not begin with man. God does not love us because we loved Him first. Real love originates with God. God loved us. God loves us. And we love God because He first loved us. And here, Jesus Christ is touching on that thought. No man can come to me. Nobody can believe in me. Nobody can be saved. Nobody can serve me or follow me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. In chapter, not chapter, but verse 65, he comes back to that thought as he deals with the crowds and their response to it. Therefore said I unto you, he refers back to what he just said in the 44th verse. Therefore said I unto you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. He repeats that statement. And then notice what verse number 66 says. From that time, many of his disciples went back. And the word many means many. There are scriptural texts that tell us there are times when Christ had thousands of people following him. And specifically, thousands of people that are identified as disciples. By the word disciple in Scripture, they were followers of Jesus Christ. And when he got into teaching, and he got onto subjects they didn't like, or they didn't understand, or was offensive, or when he taught things that made God great and man nothing, when he got into these things, he began to lose people. And verse number 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because he was a teacher. That was one of the main functions of his ministry here on earth, was teaching the truth. And he taught the whole council as Paul. He taught the truth concerning who he was and concerning a relationship with God. He's teaching the truth about serving him and following him, being where he is, being honored by the Father. He was a teacher. And because he was a teacher and he taught things that were unpopular, crowds began leaving. If you really want to look at it in human terms, look at it the way the world looks at things. Jesus was a great success at the beginning of his ministry. But by the world standards and the way the world judges things, he was a great success at the beginning of his ministry, but he was a failure at the end. Because he had the great numbers at the beginning, but at the end, there were fewer and fewer. Eventually, all we find are the 12. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus turned to the 12, goes from the masses down to the 12, and he says to the 12, "Will you also go away? Will you leave me?" And they correctly answered him, "No way."
Amen.
For who can we turn to? We're not going to leave you because you have the words of life.
Amen.
The words of life. If you want to serve Jesus, you want to be a follower of Jesus, you want to be where Jesus is, wherever you want to consider that being in reference to, you have to be in submission to his teaching because he was a teacher. He was a great teacher. And many people profess faith in Jesus Christ, and many people become Christians, and they look like they're just on fire. They just can't do enough, can't get enough. Oh, they really love Jesus. They really show signs that they're saved. But then when it gets into the nitty-gritty and the harder matters of what Jesus taught, they begin to quit. That might describe some people that are here tonight. There might be some here who started and were on fire for a while, but it got a little too hard, got a little too narrow, got a little too difficult. Well, I didn't know that church believed that. I didn't know that pastor believed that. I didn't know that was in the Bible. I didn't know Jesus taught those things. You want to be a server of Christ and a follower of Christ, you have to submit to his teaching. Right now, as you sit here in this room, are you a servant? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you in submission to what he taught? Are you in submission to what he gave his church to teach? Are you in submission to what the man of God, who he has been appointed to speak for Christ and teach for Christ, are you in submission to truth? You'll never serve Christ. You'll never follow Christ. And as it applies to here and now, whatever stage in life you are, you'll never be where Jesus is until you're in submission to what he taught. I don't understand it when people say they're saved and they say they love the Lord and all they can do is wrestle truth. All they can do is wrestle Scripture. All they can do is wrestle what the Bible teaches. I don't understand that. I can't make any sense of that. Because Jesus here is teaching us, if you want to serve me, you want to follow me, you want to be where I am, and we should all want to be where Jesus is, we have to be in submission to what he taught. But the second thing we want to think about in our time together tonight, you want to serve him, you want to follow him, you want to be where he is. You not only have to be in submission to his teaching, but you have to possess a devotion to his service. Be totally devoted to the service of Jesus Christ. You must have an undivided allegiance in every word you speak, every thought you have, every action that you commit. You must have an undivided allegiance to Jesus Christ. And people don't like this kind of Jesus, this version of Jesus. Well, Jesus asked a question in Luke chapter 6. I want to ask the question tonight. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 46. Christ speaking here directly. He asked this question. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We've looked at the word master as it means teacher or instructor or guide in Scripture. Well, here, with his use of the word Lord, he's referencing master, but not as teacher, as instructor, but in a master-servant sense of the word. Why call me Lord, Lord? Why call me your master? And do not the things that I say. I think he asked everybody here tonight that same question. I may be wrong. There might be a few that I miss. But I think most everybody here calls Jesus Lord. Or have referred to him at one time or another as the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus wants to know why you call him Lord. Why do you call him your master? If you're not a proper servant. If you're not a proper servant, to serve him, to follow him, you must have total devotion to his service. He must be your Lord and master. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I believe that's what you do. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the Lord of your life. He's your master. You and I, we're the servant. But none of that changes during the course of our life. He's always our master. We're always his servant. He's always the Lord. And how foolish it is to take the name of Jesus Christ and say he's your Lord if you don't listen to him. If you don't do what he taught. If you don't do what the scriptures tell us. We must have an undivided allegiance in every word, thought, or action to Jesus Christ. Paul said in Acts chapter 9, when the Lord saved him there on the road to Damascus, Lord, what do you want me to do? I believe he was showing his total submission to the one who had saved him, had revealed himself to him. He acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Lord of his life. What will you have me to do? I believe he was giving himself. And I want to be more particular. I believe he is giving all of himself to Jesus Christ. As in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. Paul says, I know he's able to keep that. Keep what? I know he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know when he saved me, I committed some things to him. I believe he's able to keep those things until the day of Christ, until I'm in the presence of the Lord. And Paul said there in Acts chapter 9, Lord, what would you have me to do? And Jesus says, well, this is what I want you to do. You're going to go to such and such a city and such and such a place, and it's going to be revealed to you. He was totally devoted to the service of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we won't turn there, but it's oft quoted. We're told to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. That's usually interpreted as meaning put God first and then put this second, put this third, put this fourth, put this fifth. Have all your little order of priorities, but make sure you put God first. I don't think that's what it's saying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't list the other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put him first. Make him the Lord of your life. And he'll take care of those other things. Amen. Don't see yourself as having a list of priorities. Well, God always needs to be first. God needs to be only. Mm-hmm. Jesus needs to be only. That's what acknowledging the Lordship of Jesus Christ is all about. That's an undivided allegiance in every word, thought, and action to Christ. You want to serve Him, you want to follow Him, be where He is. You must be in submission to His teaching, devoted to His service. You must have devotion to His service. And then third of all, this may sound peculiar because you've probably not heard it often, but if you want to serve Him and follow Him, you want to be where He is, it takes submission to His teaching, devotion to His service, and studying His life. Studying His life. I'd never put it in this order before, until just a few weeks ago as I came across some things I was reading. I'm not talking about studying the teachings of Christ. We've already covered that. I'm not talking about studying the miracles or the parables. I'm talking about study the life of Christ. The life of Christ. You know, He lived His life as a man here upon this earth. He was born of a woman. He was subject to a mom and dad. When he was 12 years old, his parents took him to church. Took him to the temple. And he was there doing the Father's business. And he traveled in caravans and he had to walk. A trip that maybe took days or weeks. He was obedient. He was submissive. He was honoring to his parents. And the Bible is filled with references concerning the life of Jesus. Those details that we don't give much attention to. He had to live as a man within the limitations, if you would, of being a man. He got tired. He got weak. He needed to rest. He had to walk most places or get on his ship to go many places. But it's not just His death. It's not just His death that is an exemplary example of His suffering. But His life is an example of suffering. I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't live like that and I can't do without this. Well, Jesus did. So can we. Many people think being a Christian requires too much or expects too much. Jesus didn't complain. Think about that as you read the Bible, particularly the Gospels. Again, not the doctrines, not the parables, not the miracles, but just the day-to-day life of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider Him. Consider the life of Jesus Christ. And if you want to serve Him, you want to follow Him, you want to be where He is, you must be in submission to what He taught in His teachings. You must have a true devotion to His service, His Lordship. And you're His servant. And you must study His life and live your life as He lived His. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be worried and you faint in your minds. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12 says what? What comes to your mind? All that live godly, all that live godly shall suffer. Enough said. You're going to live a godly life? You're going to really live a life of serving Christ, following Christ? Then it's going to mean some suffering. It's going to mean some persecution. It's going to mean some inconveniencing. It means you're going to live as Jesus lived. So do you want to serve Christ? Do you call yourself a servant of Christ? Do you want to follow Christ? Are you a follower of Christ? Do you want to be where Christ is? You want the Father to honor you? Then be in submission to His teaching. Stop fighting. Stop wrestling. Stop resisting. Stop refusing. And believe what Jesus taught. Believe what the Scriptures teach. Believe what the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ stands for. Embrace those things. You want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. There might be somebody here tonight who just has something they're constantly refusing to believe. I'll never believe that. Then you'll never be a real follower of Christ. Stop resisting. Submit yourself to His teaching. Make sure you're totally devoted. The world's got enough bad excuses. The world has enough poor examples of what a Christian is. What the world really needs is examples of people who are truly devoted to their Lord Jesus Christ. Does that describe you? Does that describe me? As you live your life, are you living your life as Christ lived His? All the difficulties and all the persecutions and all the physical suffering and inconveniences that Jesus went through, do you go through those things joyfully? If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant may be also. If any man serve me, him my Father will honor. I began Thursday night with asking you if you were lost. I have continued yesterday, and I'm going to continue this evening asking you to really think about your spiritual condition. Are you lost? Have you never been saved? Do you know you're lost? Do you know you've never been saved? You've never been born again? Can you give that 100% attention tonight? You're not a follower of Jesus. You're not a servant of Jesus. You're not a child of God if you're in your lost condition. By the grace of God, you must see yourself a sinner. You must repent of your sins. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't serve Him. You can't follow Him. You can't be where He is if you're lost and you've never received Christ. And I started off asking you to remember, that's your most important need. And I don't apologize for inviting people to Christ. Amen. The Scriptures are full of invitations to sinners to come to Christ. I know what the Bible teaches. I know what the doctrines are of Scripture. But I also know the Bible tells us whosoever will may come, and we're told to preach the gospel to every creature. And beg and plead with folks to be saved. I'm going to preach a message, Lord willing. From the book of Ecclesiastes. And there's a description there in chapter 12 of getting old. And one of the passages that are found there in that, I think it's the 12th chapter, speaks about looking out through the windows. The windows being the eyes. And as you get older, you're looking out through the windows and your sight begins to fail. You have difficulties. But as you get old, It speaks about looking out through the windows of your eyes. And as I think about getting old, I think about health issues. I think about looking out through those windows. I stand up here tonight and I see dead people. I see people here who, if they were to die right now, would go and spend eternity in hell. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. And for no benefit of my own, for no benefit of this church, for no benefit of a parent, for no benefit of this pastor or this church, you're dead in your trespasses and sins, and only Jesus Christ can save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not tonight? I've had that song stuck in my mind for weeks and weeks and weeks. Why not tonight? You came in here lost, as you've come many times before. Why not tonight? Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve Him. Follow Him so that you can be where He is. God bless His Word. Thank you again.
Amen. Let's stand.